Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, be with us as we open your scripture. We do ask, Lord, that your spirit would guide us, direct our thoughts into the word of God, which you have graciously given to instruct our hearts, to comfort us in times of grief, to give us joy in times of sorrow. And we thank you, Lord, and pray that you will strengthen us by grace, by your loving spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In his little book called Found, God's Will, John MacArthur makes this observation. The will of God is not primarily a place. The will of God is not, first of all, for you to go there or to even work there. The will of God concerns you as a person. If you are the right you, you can follow your desires and you will fulfill his will. While trying to justify some obvious sins, I have heard many people say, God just wants me to be happy. Now, I'm going to say something that might surprise you. God actually does want you to be happy. Just listen to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Or Ecclesiastes 3:22. I have seen that nothing is better than that a man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. Our world promises some sort of satisfaction, but tends to give the opposite. In fact, with all the evil and corruption and sin in the world is probably the number one enemy to happiness and joy. The world does not know God. John 3:1. The world does not know us because it did not know him. The world also hates the children of God. That would be us. 1 John 3:13 says, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. Now, David, 500 years before Christ, was well aware of the pitch battle that rages day and night in our world. He speaks of the protagonists of darkness and gloom in our world by calling them evil doers. Let me read you a few verses from Psalm 37, the first 8, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Now, evildoers is often used as a synonym for the ungodly, those who do not know God or are of this world. The world hates God, as we've observed, and those who love God. These are the people who are causing all the grief and misery in our world. Sometimes they are visible and knowable, but much of the time they work behind the scenes to accomplish ungodly goals and to resist joy and peace. Well, let's dive in and look at verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. There are people who always get away with their ungodly behavior. We see them all the time. There never seems to be a day of reckoning for them. They steal, they lie, they cheat, they hurt, and sometimes cause the death of people. All things that the godly do not do. All things that are against the law or the word of God. Does this kind of stuff make you mad? It's not a trick question. Does this kind of stuff make you mad? God says, stop being mad. That is exactly what the meaning of do not fret because of evildoers. Now, follow-up question. You're going to have to bear with me for a little bit here. Do you ever wonder why they get away with it? But if you tried it, or perhaps maybe even you did try it at some time in your life, you would be hung out to dry so fast that even the world would be shocked. God says, stop wondering that. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. Let me read the verse once more. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. So God's opening remarks in this psalm are actually commands to us. Here they are. Stop being mad about it and stop being envious that they can get away with it, but you cannot. So let's all take a deep breath and decide that we are going to stop being angry about all the evil that is swirling in the world. This is easier said than done, but let's do it anyway. Does this mean we do not care? Not at all. But we are going to obey God and stop fretting over it. He is going to tell us why in the next few verses. We don't even have to guess why. Verse 2, for they will wither quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. Reason number one is that they are not going to get away with it. For all their vaunted power, pride, and arrogance, they are going down. As quickly as grass can go from lush green to crispy brown, evildoers will wither, they will fade, and they will die. So, God commands us to stop being mad and to stop being jealous of people who get away with murder, so to speak. He is going to give us two reasons why we should obey him in this. The first one is that they are not really getting away with anything. Their lives are temporary. They rage against God and the righteous, and then they are gone. God does not live in time like we do. We want justice right now, or yesterday, better yet. God gets justice exactly when he wants and how he wants. And on the basis of this assertion or this promise from God, you are to stop being mad or envious. In place of that, you are to do five things. By the way, whenever God tells us to stop doing something, he will almost always tell us what to do in its place. This is God's way. Stop doing something destructive, and in its place, do something constructive. Well, let's look at these things together. The first one is found in verse 3, where it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Simply put, this means believe what God just said. Anger and envy are not good, and we are supposed to do good. We are supposed to trust God to do his part and bring all evildoers to justice, and we are to spend our time doing good. So to do good means be gracious, be happy, be pleasant, and prosper. All of these are actual meanings of the Hebrew word do good here. Well, still in verse 3, it says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. The idea here is to settle down, go home and relax. These are the meanings of dwell. Use every reason to fret as an opportunity to sow a seed of trust so that it grows into a massive harvest of faith in God alone for every circumstance you see. So when you see things that vex you, that make you fret, relax. Trust God instead, and dwell on the land, and cultivate faithfulness. Grow a crop. Grow a crop of faith. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, being mad makes you hard of heart. You have to harden yourself to be mad or angry all the time. It just goes with the territory. And God says, I forbid you to do that. Stop being angry. Instead, in the place of that, delight yourself in the Lord. And delight is a pleasant word. It means to be soft, to be delicate. It's pretty much the exact opposite of being angry and fretting. Put on your nice voice and your soft heart toward God. It sounds something like this. Lord, the world is corrupt and evil is running rampant. But my heart trusts you. I believe you, Lord. I love you. I don't need to be mad, and I don't need to envy anything that evildoers get away with. God says that he will give you the desires of your heart. This is misunderstood a lot of times. This is not a formula for getting everything you've ever wanted. It is a promise from God that he will give your heart the right and good and blessed desires that it should have. God will give you the desires of your heart. Not anger, not anxiety, not vexation, but peace, trust, and joy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In verse 5 it says, commit your way to the Lord. Instead of fretting, you are to commit your way. The idea here is to lay down and rest. Right in the middle of the road is even implied in some ways. To trust that God knows all things. He knows your steps before you take them. He knows your words before you speak them. You can quit worrying about what is on the road ahead or just around the corner because God already knows and he loves you. Commit your way to the Lord. Still in verse 5, it says, trust also in him, and he will do it. This is sort of a repeat, but it adds a dimension to the idea of trusting God. If you will trust God this way, you can be certain that he will act on your behalf. He will do it, or he will do this thing that he is promising here. He is superintending over his creation and over your life in particular, your way that you walk through life. Now, verse 6 goes on to say this, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. We are not righteous apart from God. I think we all know this. The heart is desperately wicked and deceived, and who can know it? We get righteousness from Christ through faith. We are talking about evildoers and wickedness and our response to them. Anger is the wrong response. Envy is the wrong response. Unperturbed trust in God is the right response. God has made you righteous in Christ. But you can hide that under a rock of anger and hostility and vengeance. God will bring out your righteousness like drawing the blinds back on a full sun at noontime. He will bring it forth when you trust, dwell, delight, and commit your lives to him. In other words, when we obey God in this, when we cease from all of our anxiety about evildoers and trust in him and commit our ways to him, it's like drawing the curtain back on Christ in us. Christ is seen. This is your righteousness, and he will bring it forth when you trust in him. Verse 7 says this, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest here means to shut up. I know it sounds almost rude, but we might say it a little more politely, give it a rest. Quit expressing your disdain for the world and the way it is going. Now, I'm preaching this to me, so, you know, this isn't a self-righteous sermon that I'm sending your way. But quit expressing your disdain for the world and the way it's going. You just repeat it over and over, and you relive it every time. This is not resting in the Lord, and it is not waiting patiently for him to act. He says he's going to act. He promises that there will be justice. Our job is to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Still in verse 7, he just repeats now, but again, it adds a fuller understanding. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. So again, God tells us not to be consumed with anger when we see the wicked, ungodly, evildoer just going about his business and prospering. Shouldn't we care about corruption, somebody might ask? How about lying, stealing, cheating, immorality, and the like? Are you saying, Pastor, that we shouldn't care about those things? I certainly am not. We should care. But God tells us being you and me, not to allow ourselves to get angry, to allow anger and anxiety to rule our spirit. And he ties a bow on this whole thing with verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. I remember the first time I read this verse and it dawned on me that I was in my righteous indignation, so-called, I was on a path that was leading me to evil doing. Here's the definitive reason we should obey God when he tells us to stop being angry about the wicked. It can and will lead you into evil doing. Now, evil doing is a word that means to inherit. We'll inherit the evil doing. The idea is also that the evil doing that consumes our thoughts and emotions will actually take possession of our hearts and emotions. In short order, it is all we are thinking about. We are forgetting that God promises, he promises that they will meet their proper end. As we forget, we do not trust him to carry out his righteous verdict on evil. We can begin to doubt if he will even do it at all. We are agitated day and night. Our heart begins to harden in order to resist all the evil we see. We feel we have to do something rather than commit our lives and circumstances to his loving care. Rest for the soul goes out the window, and what is left is anger and envy and anxiety, or in short, more evil doing. Well, these few verses bring us back from the brink. They brought me back. They can do it for you. Don't let this happen to you. It happened to me over the abortion issue years ago. Have I lost my passion for the unborn? Not at all. But I learned not to let evil consume me and drag me into its snare. Now, it is time for God's people to be aware of evildoers, but to be enthralled with Christ and with the Father. He is the righteous judge. No man, but all judgment goes to Christ. Jesus himself said in John 5:22, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. You can rest in that, my friend. You can trust him to do righteously and to judge the wicked and the evildoer. It is required of us, then, on the other hand, that we forsake anger and wrath over the prosperity of the wicked and replace it in our life with, let's run through the list quickly, total trust in Christ to deal with evil in all forms, a relaxed and joyful heart that is at peace, a soft heart that can feel the joy of our blessings and of God's love, confidence that God can and will make us righteous like our Savior, and finally, a quiet mouth and a quiet spirit. David finishes this wonderful psalm with these words. Psalm 37, verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance, but the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Lord, hold our hands. Finally, verse 23, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, there is much to fret over. But Lord, let these words ring. Apply them by your Spirit to our minds and to our hearts, that we would say, I'm going to stop that. Instead of fretting, instead of being angry, I am going to follow Christ. I'm going to believe him when he says that he'll deal with it. I'm going to believe him when he says that if I don't stop this stuff, I can be consumed by it. And I too will become an evildoer, not in the same ways, but nevertheless an evildoer. So Lord, heal our hearts, heal our minds as we face lots of evil in our day. Give us peace. Give us rest. Cause us to lay down and rest. We pray all these things in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us. Amen.